Let's go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river opening into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter. The finer things keep shining through, the way my soul gets lost in you. The finer things I'm feeling.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. I am so excited to have on the phone with us right now, Jen Reichel. She is the Director of Teaching and Learning for the Hastings School District, and I can't wait to learn what that title means. And we are talking in the summer, but school will be starting. So what will school look like? Jen is going to tell us, I think. Anyway, welcome to KDWA. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. So first of all, tell us about your title, Director of Teaching and Learning. It sounds pretty fancy.
Well, it's a fancy title for I am here to really serve the district, the teachers and students within the district to make sure that what we do to help kids on their K-12 journey is aligned and that we're doing everything we can to support them to have every option that should be available to them as they leave us.
Well, you know, that's a pretty tall order, though, when you're serving both the teachers and the kiddos. How was distance learning for you?
Well, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk about distance learning in a couple of other places, and I need to share my admiration and appreciation for the teachers for all of the amazing work that they did. We had a core group of teacher leaders who came together to help us as a district develop our distance learning plan. We had that e-learning, which was, you know, if we had the occasional snow day, what we would do. And now we look at that and go, huh, a snow day, we could handle that in our sleep. And this group of teachers actually came together over their spring break. I had a few teachers who had palm trees in the background, and they were zooming in to help us craft our plan. That's the kind of dedication and just amazing, innovative thinking that we had. And we put together an amazing plan for the time that we had and really focusing in on how do we best serve our kids in a brand new way. And then, you know, we had the opportunity midpoint through to say, all right, what's working and what's not working, and refine in order to bring us to the end of the school year. So it was definitely a challenge, and I certainly couldn't have facilitated such a great process without the amazing staff that we have in our school district.
Our mutual friend Carrie Gore said that this whole process was like, I got to paraphrase it the right way, building an airplane as you're flying it.
Yes, and there's some destination off in the distance that we don't quite know where we're going to land yet.
I like that extra part that you added. No, it really was something to see everyone turn on a dime. And I remember when we went on spring break with the kids, they were so excited that they were going to, quote unquote, have another week off from school, you know, while you guys got it together. Little did anyone know, you did not even get to see those little cuties again.
Right. And I think that for most of our staff is the greatest challenge, that, you know, most people who go into education do it because they love kids, and not being able to see them on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, whether it's those kinders who like to give you a hug as they walk through the door, or, you know, a high five, or that knowing look from seniors in the back of the classroom, being with their students is what drives our teachers.
So that was a big loss for everybody.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about your background, please.
This is, will be coming up on the beginning of my sixth year in Hastings, and by far my favorite professional role that I've had. I've served in curriculum leadership before. I've been a building assistant principal. I was an assistant director at a charter school. And prior to that, I worked in grades 6 through 12 in the area of language arts and theater. So I've spent the last probably 25 years in education in some aspect or another, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
So when you came to Hastings, was this a position that was already established, or was this a new position?
It was a position that had been established, and interestingly, the person who came in to be my coordinator, her mom had had this role many years before I came to the district, and so it was one of those, you know, bringing it all back together.
I love full circle stories. That's awesome. Jen, tell us a little bit. We hear in the news about the three different scenarios that the governor has asked Minnesota schools to come up with for a safe return to school for kids, for teachers alike. So are you obviously working on that now? And what is this, please?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? What school is going to look like when we come back, or if we come back in the fall? The governor and the commissioner of education has said, we know that school needs to continue. And there are three different ways this could look. We could come back the way that we've always known. Every student coming back into the building, and we host a traditional face-to-face school year. We also know that there may be times that the COVID pandemic increases in instances, and so we need to, for the protection of students and teachers and their families, that we need to return to some distance learning. And we also know that in the absence of being able to bring back all of our kids face-to-face, we know that face-to-face education is the gold standard for most kids. And so we're also working on what we're calling the hybrid model, where some kids are coming into school face-to-face while other kids are working on distance learning, so that we can follow those social distancing guidelines and make sure that we have time to clean and, you know, we've got the adequate space and PPE and all of that business. So we're working through the initial parts of our planning have been looking at what are the questions that we need to have answers to before we're ready to make a plan. And our part of our process is going to be bringing in some teachers and having them think about those three scenarios and, you know, what we learned with distance learning that has worked really well that we want to make sure we replicate, and what are those pieces that, given this additional time that we have over the summer that we didn't have over spring break, that we would want to do differently and better, and what do we need to know and learn in order to be able to do them better. And then certainly, as our process goes along, we're going to invite feedback from our families as well, because we need to know their level of readiness for sending their kiddos back to school.
So will all schools in Minnesota follow the same model?
So the plan, as we understand from the Department of Education, from Minnesota's Department of Education, is that by the end of July or early August, they are going to come out with the recommendation that says in the fall, plan to do school in this way. And what they want is for school districts to have a solid plan for each of those scenarios, whether it's face-to-face, distance learning, or that in-between hybrid model. And then we're going to start this way. But we know that as a community, we may need to ebb and flow within those three different plans over the course of next school year. We know that, you know, there may be some sickness that comes into one of our buildings. And so that building may need to move to distance learning, but that doesn't mean that our whole district has to do that. So we want to be able to pivot on a dime, if you will, and make those adjustments and impact as few families as we can in order to offer the quality education that they are used to and that they deserve to have.
What are some of the challenges that you're talking about right now?
I would say, you know, a few of the things that we're wondering about is how many kids can we put into a classroom that allows for that 6 feet of space, that social distancing that the CDC guidelines have shared. So how many kids can we put into a classroom? And then if we have, let's say, at the high school, how do we choose which kids come in on which day? If we're doing an alternating day or an alternating week, how do we make that most efficient for families, so we're not saying, all right, child A gets to go to school today, but child B has to go tomorrow, and child C, you know, we want to be thoughtful about how we minimize the disruption to families. And then we also need to think about who are the students who have those academic needs that require more face-to-face time than others, and who are the kids who have been really successful with distance learning, and can we invite them to participate in more distance learning?
So are you saying that the hybrid model might include some kids distance learning and some kids not?
I would say yes. When we think about that hybrid model, we want every student to have access to learning every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them will not be able to be with us on campus in that hybrid model because we might have to be at half capacity, like the governor has given for our hair salons and our restaurants, reduced capacity, and so we can't have everyone who typically comes in. But we don't want to say to a student or a family, if your child isn't in school, it's a free-for-all. We want to make sure that they continue to learn. So we need to explore, does that mean that we deliver a lesson on this day, and it's really a two-day lesson, and so they're working independently on the second day? We might think about that scenario for the high school. Or does it mean that if they're not on campus, that they Zoom in, because we've chosen Zoom as our primary platform for that synchronous learning, that digital component? Do they participate from home, but they get to engage in the lesson as it unfolds for the other students who are on campus? We don't know the answer to those questions, and we're thinking of maybe there's a third and a fourth and a fifth scenario that we haven't even begun to think about yet.
It's just crazy, all these different things that you're having to really flesh out. So you're saying even elementary school kids, their model might be different than high school or middle school?
Yes. I think what we need to do, among the first things that we need to do as a district, is really set our values for, you know, when we look at a kindergartner, how challenging it would be for that first month of school, for example, for them to do any distance learning. Because they're learning how to be a student in school. And mm-hmm. there's so much to what happens in those first few weeks that almost seems magical that those kindergarten teachers can do. But they learn how to work in a community. They're learning their basic math facts and letters and building into readers, and to introduce then the digital component of instruction may be a challenge we're not ready to do. And so we might say, you know what, when we look at this half capacity, all of our kindergartners are going to come in. So maybe that means that someone else is going to come in less so that we can prioritize our kinders so they have that day-to-day instruction. But again, we don't yet know, and we want to make sure that we invite those values and those beliefs from our staff and from our families that help inform our larger process.
And then also, I'm just thinking about different kinds of classes. You know, certainly some of the science classes that are so hands-on, art classes that are hands-on, tech ed classes that are hands-on. Then you factor in choirs that, you know, there's all this talk about there shouldn't be choirs because of the spread of disease. So are those all things that you're thinking about?
Yes, man, you should be part of our team.
Oh, Lord.
Because those are definitely things that we're thinking.
I mean, there are just so many things. If you really sit down and peel away the top layer of the onion, there's so much stuff underneath to get worked out.
Yes.
It's daunting.
And then, you know, and then you can think about, you know, are there some content areas or some instructors who really have shined in distance learning? And maybe that becomes part of what we do, is we say, this particular content area, this is going to be fully distance learning so that we can have our kids come together and do their science labs, for example, in the scenario that you shared. You know, that makes perfect sense. And so right now, we are in a really amazing and exciting place. That's how I'm trying to frame it, that we get to blank slate, build the dream scenario of schools.
Absolutely.
And yes, it's daunting, but what an invigorating time to be able to say, you know what, we can't go back, you know, in two of the three scenarios, we can't go back and do what we've always done. So now that we have this catalyst to push us, how do we want to be better and do better for our kids? It's pretty amazing.
It is. What have you talked about as far as the lunch periods go? Because my understanding is that's a free-for-all on a good day.
Well, I would say it's probably more contained than what you might imagine. Lots of guidance from the state has said we can't have that many bodies in any one space. And so the thought process is that lunches will happen in classrooms. We don't know that that is for certain. I imagine that when the weather's nice, you know, for the 2 weeks in the beginning of the year and the 3 weeks at the end of the year, that we can do a lot in our outdoor spaces. But we know that, you know, if this COVID pandemic continues over the winter, that outdoors is not going to be a space that we can use for, you know, instruction or lunches or movement, anything like that. But we need to think about, you know, if this is not a possibility, then this could be, but what else could there be? And that's, again, that's where we are right now, is what could be.
Jen, you got your work cut out for you, but it sounds like you're making great headway. So it's fair for us to say on the air that we will have some sort of a decision by early August at the very latest.
That is what MDE, the Minnesota Department of Ed, has been continuing to communicate, that they intend to share with Minnesota school districts by the end of July, early August, that we will know what fall looks like. So it's not a decision that we as the Hastings School District will decide. We have to be prepared for all of the scenarios, and then we will be told this is how we're going to begin.
And then you will, as a district, develop a plan that is best for the teachers and for kiddos.
Yes, and that's the time that we have now, knowing that there are these three different options. Let's plan for all of them so that no matter what the Department of Education tells us, we're ready and we have thought about how, you know, how does it work with kids for this? How does it work for teachers with this? How, you know, we're thinking about things like, you know, in math class in elementary school, kids use tiles and blocks and things in order to have that concrete representation of their math facts. We probably need to build a kit for each kiddo now and not have communal property. Those are the kinds of things that we're like, okay, so then how might that look in a middle school or a high school? Do we have to build like a backpack, if you will, of these are your supplies, don't share them with anyone? And we'll get there. Like, those details are later. But we're going to be able to walk into any one of those scenarios because we have great staff and great teachers who are going to help us dream up the dream plan.
Excellent. We are so grateful because distance learning was a challenge for parents.
Right. And we know that. And we know that it's not ideal for most kids.
Jen, thank you so much. This was great information. Would you be so kind as to join us again in mid-August, maybe, so we can...
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Oh, well, we'll get something set up. Jen Reichel, she's the Director of Teaching and Learning for the Hastings School District, and she just gave us a little taste of what is to come. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.